Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and if you'd like to join us, you can. We're at the car show. We're talking about cars, your cars. We can talk about tires, fan belts, oil change intervals, air pressure, wax in your windshield. Do all that kind of stuff. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And sitting here today with me is my daughter, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Andy actually runs our operation. She's in charge of all the men there.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard is that?
Some days are better than others.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
But overall, we have a really good group of guys.
But what I hear is the women love you. Because having a woman at the front counter,
sure.
and a decision maker and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And so it's easier. But there's also, and I'm proud of this, they're also within our organization. Now, how many people do we have?
Probably between 15 and 20.
Okay. We don't have a big discrepancy amongst ourselves. We don't have technicians that say, change oil every 3,000 miles, no matter what kind of oil you have. We don't have that.
Mm-mm.
We don't have the spark plug argument about when you change the spark plugs or what spark plugs to use. Or if you have a Ford, you use Autolite. And if you have a GM, you use Delco. We don't have all that kind of stuff.
No, and I think everyone pretty much, you know, there's certain ways that we want things done, to put it lightly. And so I think that they kind of understand our perspective or our point of view or, you know, processes and just different things, you know, like fuel injection services. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know, not including GDI, things like that. But
GDI is what?
Direct injection.
Okay.
So, you know, before we've always talked about, you know, fuel injection flushes or kind of wallet flushes if you're not having symptoms, things like that. Most of the technicians, of course, agree, but just we lay those ground rules in the hiring process.
Well, and we so everybody knows we don't have lots of turnover.
No,
we got Eddie there. How long?
He's been there 34 years.
Okay, Ron, how long has he been there?
He was here for a few, you know, a bit and back. He's probably been here almost 10.
Okay.
Or somewhere around
and
there.
And you've been in the company?
For a long time, too long. No. 20 plus years.
And your brother, Alan?
Is probably 25,
okay,
yeah.
And that's right, because
yeah.
He's older than you are.
Yeah.
So, and then Colleen, our accountant?
Oh, gosh. Since
the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
We and then our service writers, we got Daniel. Daniel's
yeah,
been
he's
there
been
a
there a
time.
Long time. Jeff's been with
our
us.
Our parts manager.
Yeah, for almost 25 years.
Yeah.
So.
We have a lot of long-term
yeah.
employees, and part of it has to do with our Monday through Friday schedule. You know, they all have an opportunity to spend time with their family and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But at the same time, we lose the income stream associated with Saturday or Sunday.
Sure.
But it's worth it as far as the employees are
yeah.
concerned. So if you have a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, you hear me talk about other shops in the valley. And I've identified lots of shops in the valley that are good guys, that are honest and they're dependable and they're interested in making sure what's done is in your best interest and does not line their pockets with gold. And Action Auto is one of those at I-17 in Deer Valley. I've known Tom since 1983. He does a good job. He understands quality workmanship. His technicians aren't going to pull the wool over his eyes. He has a fast turnaround time. He has ASE Master Certified Technicians. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have a repair shop or you want to try a new one, may I suggest Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner. There's a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say good morning to Laszlo.
Laszlo, good morning.
Good morning, Laszlo. Laszlo calling. Mark, I do have a 221R Rev number 4 hybrid.
Okay.
And I call you about I do have a problem with the lighting. My wife doesn't like it because we have about 10 feet blind spot. And I had order from Amazon fog light. And they don't fit too well. I mean, you know, the plastic cover is right now. I don't have a light. I wonder if that can be modified and use the same light that I ordered already. and put it on that plastic cover.
Okay, Andy.
I would say you could take what you've already purchased to a shop and kind of tell them what you want done, but they may have a better idea of what would fit in that space. And work appropriately.
What part of town are you in, Laszlo?
I'm in Litchfield Park, close to Dicer and Camelback Road.
I don't know who that is. Autodynamics?
Autodynamics?
Yeah. You might try Autodynamics. I know that they have some good guys there that think outside of the box, and it's not a bad idea to run it by them. They're they're on the north side of Grand and 99th Avenue. 99th and Grand, the northwest corner.
I'm sure it can be done. It just, you got to find to talk to a shop. I'm sure it can be done, though.
And let me follow up on that. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
And Alan, your brother and my son, mm-hmm. It's his job to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
There has been times where they bring an 8-inch bulb that they want to fit in a square hole in their bumper. So there is going to be times where, no, if you want something, you'll have to buy new lights, and these lights will fit in the existing hole in your bumper, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And then how do you want the lights? Do you want a separate switch for the lights, or do you want them to come on automatic with low beams? The problem is you can't have them on high beams. Now you have more than four lights to the front. And so you got all these things that go on, but if you have just two headlights and you have two fog lights, you're okay.
Yeah, I think you just need to go to a shop and just say, this is the issue that I'm having. We're not having enough light, or we're having a blind spot, whatever the case may be. I bought these lights. Look at them. Let me know if they'll work. If not, can you propose something that would fix this problem, essentially?
And we could actually explore, too, that if we could do a different light bulb that might be shot brighter or a wider track and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a 2021, though, so I'm assuming that whatever is in there is probably a pretty good bulb, but maybe there's something brighter that you could use in the headlights.
More than likely it's LED already. Mm-hmm. The question is does it have a pinpoint view in front of it, or 180
like a flood.
Degree? Yeah. Like a flood, mm-hmm. or curb to curb.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do, Laszlo. You have to do a little bit more work, but there's plenty of guys out there that could hang those lights. Kurtz at I-17 and Bell could hang your lights.
Action Auto
could run your lights. Harkers could fix your lights and install them, and then put them on a switch if that's what you want. What I like to do is I like to run my fog lights and my driving lights with my high beams. So I wire them into the high beams. So when I click the high beams, because there's no one in front of me at that time, I light the road up 180 degrees. And when I see a car coming at me, I hit the high beams off, and my floodlights or my driving lights go off as well. So you've got a variety of ways to hook that up, okay?
Yeah, great. Okay. Tell me again, 99 and the closest one to Litchfield Park?
Grand.
Okay.
99th and Grand, the northwest corner.
Automotive Dynamics.
Automotive Dynamics. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It helped pretty good previous calls that I called you about my pickup truck, my Volvo, and I'm very appreciative that you guys are helping me out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Laszlo. We've been blessed in every way. We started in business, my wife and I, together in 1979, so we've been blessed, and giving back is part of the family, the idea. So thank you for noticing, and thank you for your call. 602-508-0960. We already have another call. Who might that be?
We have Lee. Say good morning.
Lee, good morning. How can we help you?
I'm doing good, Mark. I've got a 2014 Dually Ram diesel. It's got two cameras on it, one for the bed and one for the backup. Is there any way the backup camera is actually in the mirror, and the bed camera is actually the big display in the center of the dash?
Okay.
Is there any way to switch those?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
the ones on the rearview mirror, you said, and ones on the main screen?
Yes.
I
don't look in the bed that often, and that's in the big screen.
Yeah, we understand. You'd like to have the big screen on the rear bumper looking in reverse.
Yes.
I think, should we send him to Alan and see if Alan's ever done that?
Yeah, he might okay. be. Or no, there might be a setting within the...
You're right.
Within the... is there a settings option within that display that lets you choose the camera? Have you looked at that?
Yeah, I've tried it. I've actually had a buddy of mine that's good with electronics, and he couldn't do it either.
Yeah, I don't know offhand.
And I'll tell you, we're gonna send you to Alan. Alan is my son. He does this kind of stuff. He installs LEDs. He installs fancy lights. He does all that fancy stuff. And he's a Dodge extraordinaire. And I drive the same truck you drive. I have a 12 Ram dually. But I don't. My backup camera, I think, is on my tailgate latch, mm-hmm. and so I don't know. The 14 years is 2 years newer, and if it's still got the tailgate latch on it or the tailgate camera, but if not, and it's up above the back window in the cab, then it really depends on what's feeding those cameras. Is it two wires that are electrical, and perhaps you take this one off and plug it into this one and this one? We don't know. And somebody's going to have to look that up on a wiring schematic. But Andy's right. The first thing we'd look at is can we switch the cameras on your Dodge? And you can just call the Dodge dealer if you want and say, can you swap these cameras? Here's my phone number. Would you check with the appropriate people and call me back? And I would call two Dodge dealers and see what they say.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Yeah.
I've called the one up here in Scottsdale, and they said, no, that's the way it is, and it can't be changed.
Okay, I would just check with another one. I would just check with another one,
and
too.
I'll tell you who else is pretty good with this kind of stuff is stereo guys. The stereo shops that install speakers and amplifiers mm-hmm. and do all that fancy stuff, they're really good with stuff like this. You might try, what's that one on Broadway Road in Tempe? Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I would also try... Well, at least call Cartoons in Tempe. It's K-A-R.
And we use them a lot.
Yeah.
K-A-R-T-O-O-N-S?
No.
Okay.
K-A-R-T-U-N-E-S.
Oh, Cartoons that way. Okay.
Yeah. In Tempe, and maybe ask them also if they have heard of it, know of how to do it, or if it can be done.
They're going to have to either switch the camera's wiring or they're going to have to switch the cameras in the software,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. Yeah. And that's Cartoons is one that we use a lot, so I think you'll be happy with them.
Yeah.
All right.
I got one other little problem if you got a minute.
Okay.
When I put a load on it, like I pull a fifth wheel, and when I put a load on, I get a little bit of a vibration out of the rear end. Is that the...
How aggressive are your tires?
They're just standard road tires.
Okay.
They're not big tires, but a friend of mine said it so you don't spin the wheels. It's a torque reduction thing or something.
That's not true. Here's the deal. Okay. The difference between the truck with the trailer and the truck without the trailer is the noise. So it has to be something to do with the tires, because and what I would do is I would change the inflation. I would run them at maximum inflation, what it says on the sidewall, run them at maximum inflation empty, and then run a maximum inflation when you haul your fifth wheel and see if you've changed it. You're not going to change it for the worse. You're going to change it for the better. But if you've got if you have a mud and snow on there, you have an aggressive tread on there, then that can cause a vibration once we load it with the tongue of your trailer. So,
yeah.
All right, got to run. Good luck to you. The lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Andy Salem, sitting here with Mark Salem, and we're here at your service, and we're going to talk real quick about automatic transmission exchange at 40th Street in Washington. Phil's been around since Jesus was a baby. Phil's been around transmissions when they first came out. He's really good at diagnosing the problem if you can show him how to make it happen. But he's not going to be able to diagnose a problem that happened last Thursday. So the idea is he's good with that kind of stuff. But if you need a transmission repair or if you've been bid a transmission overhaul, it's a good idea to call Phil over at Automatic Transmission Exchange. Josh, you're up first. How can I help you?
Morning, Mark. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just bought a 56 Chevy truck, and it's got a 350 and stuff, so I'm going to change all the fluids and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get all the fluids out of the
rear differential?
Yeah.
Okay. We usually just suck
it out.
And
the torque converter, too.
Okay. Well, on the torque converter, it's an automatic transmission. It probably has cooler lines going to the cooler and the radiator in the front.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it does.
Okay. If that's the case, one of those lines is suck and one of those lines is push. And you know, what we usually do is we take the cooler lines off and we put a piece of 3/8 line on it that's 3 feet long. And we put that in one bucket and we take the other one and we put it in the other bucket. And then we tap the starter, run it for a second, and then get out. One of them's sucking and one of them's pushing. And so obviously you want to suck out the most you can and go from there. So you can do it that way, and that's the easiest way to do it at home. But if you, one of those hoses, if the pressure hose on that transmission gets away from you, you're going to have a hell of a mess. I'm talking a big dog mess that it'll take you forever to clean it up, especially if the oil that comes out of there is brown. So,
and
your 56 Chevy is just like the 55 Chevy we have. And I'll tell you a real quick story. The thing would go 46, but it wouldn't do 47. And I worked on that thing forever. One day I filled it up, and the next day my wife goes, "Your truck is leaking gasoline all over." And underneath the cab, which is the same as yours, underneath the back seat, there's a metal line that comes out, but then it goes through a hole, and then it goes rubber forward. And that metal had deteriorated, and it had a hole in it. And so I was sucking air when I should have sucked fuel. Once I replaced that, this thing would have done 70 if it didn't have 456 gears in it. but we like Blackwell and a lot of other guys in town, we grew up in those trucks, so we know them well. But that's how I'd do it if I were you, okay?
Now one other question. Now, is synthetic, can I go strictly synthetic on from engine oil all the way to the rear end?
If you want to.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to. What would you tell him on the synthetic on a 56 Chevy?
What do you mean?
Oil change interval 5,000?
A full synthetic or semi-synthetic?
Full synthetic.
I would tell him, probably 8 to 10.
Okay.
He's not even going to put that on the truck. That's the other thing. Is you're probably not going to drive it a bunch, so at the same time, why not use a semi-synthetic?
Or even a conventional, because if he's going to put 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year, then just use a conventional oil.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now what about EFI? You know, do you have anything about that? I mean, is it worth putting on a 350?
We've done them.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to put a pressure pump in either in the tank or on a frame mount, and it's going to be an intake manifold with a computer. Yes, they're easy to do. It's going to be north of $1,000.
More than that,
I know, but I got to say north of $1,000.
I think that it can be done. It's sometimes the money aspect of if people decide they want to do it.
And then keep in mind, you've got an old distributor, so you're probably going to want an electronic distributor that has more than 30,000 volts, maybe 50 or 60,000 volts, and then you're going to change the timing, which is easy to do. So there's about five of us in town that could do that to pull it off, but at the very low end, you're going to be at the $3,000 mark. And then if you're going to do ignition system, that's another $1,000.
So basically what we're telling you is it's somewhat of a snowball. Because you start with one thing and then it just, no.
Not only that, you bring up a good point. Then he's going to have to open up the exhaust on that thing to move all that air.
And yeah, so it's no different than, I want to lift a truck, then I'm putting wheels and tires, and then my wife can't get into the truck, so I need to do power steps, and then I need lighting, and then I need this. And then
so, check, we if you bring it to us, we need to know from your wife.
Right. Well, then, it might be cheaper for me to put an LS in it.
Oh, well, go ahead, do whatever you want to do.
I would stick
You've
with
just
the
tripled the bill now.
Yeah, I would stick with the 350.
Yeah, I would too. All righty, good luck. Thank you very much. Jack, you're up next. Jack, how can I help you?
Good morning. I got a question about a 2000 F-150.
Okay.
I called you a while ago about it. I think it was about a year and a half ago we had problems. We ended up with fuel injectors. It ran great, and then about 6 months later, cylinder two started throwing misfire codes, and turns out the fuel, we took it back to the shop, and the fuel injector was cracked, and so they replaced that, and of course it ran fine. Now, about a year later, we're getting misfire codes on two again, and sometimes on four. And so we checked all the normal suspects, the spark plug wires and the spark plugs.
Okay, but we got to let's move on. Go ahead.
So what I'm wondering is what would your experience be? How likely is it another fuel injector has failed? Or I've been reading that sometimes there's these little EGR ports in there that plug up. What's your experience on the likely culprit?
EGR port has nothing to do with what we're talking about, other than the fact that if you had a buildup of carbon on the back of the valve and it's absorbing some of the gasoline, which is not getting into the cylinder, and that's not creating. But typically what that does is just cause an imbalance in the cylinder contribution. So first of all, I would have never done what they did. I would have taken two out and put it for three, and I'd put three into two, and then I would have seen if the problem moved. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have done. Now all of a sudden you have another problem, but here's the deal. When you start messing with the air-fuel mixture, you're going to get out of parameters that the computer's used to seeing. So the first thing we have to do is we have to make sure our air-fuel mixtures are correct. And we have to make sure it's a fuel delivery problem instead of a spark problem. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to do. What part of town do you live in?
Well, I'm in New Mexico.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what to hear. I'll tell you, this is what you do. You go to a big Napa store and you pull the old gray-haired guy aside. And you say to him, I want to know the best shop in town for performance and for codes and Chevrolet and this and that. He doesn't rebuy parts and return them, which means he's trying them on and they don't work, and so he sends them back. The parts stores will know the good guys in town, and that's what I would do.
You told me that before, and I did that, and we got fixed.
Yeah. Okay. There's so many things that could cause it.
Yeah. You're, there's
a shop will be able to find it in less than an hour.
But people will come in, they say, I have an engine miss. I have an engine misfire code. Somebody says I have a bad injector. Da, 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 da. And we find the EGR valve is half open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we don't work off of other people's diagnosis, and it's not a good idea for you. You look them in the eyes and you say flat out, you're going to fix it for $312, and I'm not going to have the problem when I leave. And I want my old parts back, because if all hell breaks loose, you want to put the old injectors back on. I got to run. Brian, you stay right there, and we are going to get you first on the other side of the break. We have four lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And if you'll tell us your make and model of your car, maybe the mileage, tell us what the problem is. That helps us out a lot. Andy's sitting next to me. She's been in our she's been in our family forever because she's my daughter. But the idea is she's been around cars for a lot longer than most of the guys that come up to the front counter. So she has an abundance of information, and we'll share it today. Welcome back, everybody. That thing been taping the whole time? That's a bad idea. Hold on just a minute. Let me turn up your microphone. All righty, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem and Andy, my daughter, and she's been with our company for 472 years. And so she's here, and she actually runs our company, and she runs her son, her brother too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of like a little brother kind of a thing?
Except he's very much bigger than I am physically.
I know, but it's kind of the relationship between you and Alan. I'm sure he doesn't come in and chew on you, but there are times you go and say, "Did you really say this, or did you really do this?"
He's a Salem, so yes.
Okay. Very funny. Okay. Blackwell Autos at 40th and Greenway. Tom knows right from wrong. Tom knows good, and he's really a good hot rod guy. So if you have an older model vehicle, whether it's a Chevy, a Ford, a Dodge, a Nissan, a Toyota, whatever you got, and you've got a problem and nobody's been able to fix it, then Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway would be a place I would take it. He has two different divisions. He has mother and dad's cars, which is up-to-date cars, and then he has the vintage division. Just like many of us, they work on both cars. So Tom's good for the old cars, and he's well-skilled on the new cars. Blackwell Automotive, 40th in Greenway. Brian, you're up first. How can I help you?
Well, thanks a lot, you two. And you're very humorous, and I love the show. I think I heard it first and then probably a replay. I wouldn't let Alan in the room anymore. You guys are having too much fun.
You know, when he's here, our button, the mute button that takes out 5 seconds of airtime, we have to push that button a lot on Alan.
Probably have to replace it by the end of the show.
Right.
Yes, it'd be worn out by then.
I'm calling back. I knew you years ago, and I'm your age. But I'm calling back from several months ago, and you may recall, well, first of all, I'm the guy that ruined your show one time when we had to talk about 10 Winter 30.
Okay.
On motor oil.
Okay.
And we lost, I think, most of your demographic that morning, but getting to the car, the vehicle is a 18 Colorado with, I think it's a 3.6. And the book said transmission service at 45,000 miles, and we both were kind of perplexed because nowadays, of course, they're usually going up 100,000 miles. And then life happened, and I procrastinated also. And I got a chatter in that transmission, so I called the Chevy dealer where I bought it used, and the service advisor, or the service director, is kind enough to call me back the next day, and he says, yeah, he said, you know, we've had that, you get a chatter in them. I don't believe we've had one go out. So I got it over to Thompson's. I used to use Kurt, and they're great, too. I moved on to East Valley now, and I got it over to Joey and met Brian, too. They're wonderful people. And they did the service and the filter, of course. And there's no dipstick on this thing. I guess there's an inspection hole somewhere.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, long story short, the chatter became less. And now I've got 5,000 miles. I called them the other day. I'll be going in Tuesday. Excuse me. They're going to flush it and put an additive in it. I'm going to get the coolant done, too. But I wanted to point out the importance of changing this fluid at 45,000 miles, and that's basically why.
Okay, but let me just change what you're saying. It's important to know the earned interval of fluid changes on the car you own.
Yeah.
And it's in the owner's manual. Right. So there's lots of people out there that have this 100,000-mile vision, but their car calls for a 50,000-mile service. And the other way around, they're changing it at 50 when the car's calling for spark plugs at 100. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Thank you very much, because that's a real-time issue. But for most part, the owner's manual is the Bible for your car, and you should follow that as close as you can. But thank you very much for that, Brian. Jane, you're up next. How can I help you? Hi, Jane.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear my name. Thank you, Mark. I am looking for a new car. I have a Buick Enclave, which is from 2012, and I just thought now is the time to probably get a new car. I do not have a rear camera, and I don't have the side lane alert, which are two things that I want. So what do you suggest? I'm looking at another Buick, possibly the Envision, or possibly a Hyundai Santa Fe.
1 minute.
Well, two of the cars that you mentioned, we like.
Yeah.
Two of the cars you mentioned are not problem cars in our shop.
Okay.
And as long as you know the owner's manual and where to find all the stuff, I think you'll find whatever you want in either one of those. And so we have customers that are happy. Sonata, was that what it was?
No, a Buick Envision,
and then
a Hyundai Santa Fe. Santa Fe's, I mean, we have a lot of customers that have them, are happy with them. Maintenance, I mean, just maintaining your vehicle is huge. So no matter what vehicle you get, knowing the service intervals, knowing all of that, keeping up on it.
And there's nothing that sticks out on either one of those cars that's a pattern failure. Oh, that thing, you're going to do air conditioning work every 60,000 miles. That's not the case. Both of us are shaking our heads right now saying we don't know any pattern failures. Now, that doesn't mean at 80,000 miles you're going to start doing fluids and you're going to start replacing belts and hoses and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's on every car. But the same token, we couldn't have picked better cars than you've picked already.
Now, the one problem I have is I am 4'10". So I'm very short, and is there one that, I don't know, if you know about how high the seats go, or I just have to go and check them all out?
I would go and drive them and just see what feels best to you. I know even, you know, they have those little seat cushion pads too that you can put on your back or on the seat that are really nice.
That pushes you forward just a little bit if you find something.
Yeah, I would just go drive it, adjust the seat to where you feel comfortable, and drive it and see what feels best.
And here's the deal. You don't want to have one where you're driving your accelerator with your toes, because that's going to take a toll on your hips and your knees and stuff. You need to have the heel on the ground, and you need to be able to push with your toes. So really, push the seat all the way forward, see how you like it, and if you have to back it up a few steps, then that's the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, with respect to the seats.
Yeah.
Anyway, got to run, Jane, but thank you. That was an interesting comment. Bob, you stay right there, and we have open lines 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You got 1 in 4 chance. We'll be back. 43 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem sitting here with Andy, my daughter, who runs our automotive repair shop. But this show is not about our shop. It's about your car problems. So if you have a car problem, you want to run something by us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're going to go to Bob right now. Bob, thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Morning. So several months ago, my son was having a problem with his 2014 GMC with 140,000. On 5.3, and he was having a shuddering, like you were going over a washboard road. I mean, it was bad, but it wouldn't happen every day, like maybe, you know, every second or third day.
Okay.
So he took it to automatic transmission exchange, and Trey drove it, and he couldn't get it to do that. And he read the codes, and he said it was a cylinder 4 misfire code, not a transmission problem. So he took it to Kurtz, and then Kurtz kept it for a couple of days. And they got it to do it. They cleared the codes, and they took the transmission pan off, and it was full of metal because the torque converter was disintegrating. Mm-hmm. So they changed the fluid, and they serviced the rear end, and they did some other stuff which needed to be done. But then my son ended up going back to automatic transmission exchange, and then Trey had to replace the transmission.
Cylinder misfires and transmission lock and unlock are two identical symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I would have done the same thing. I would have plugged in a scanner. I would have watched the shift points from 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I would have looked at the RPM and the speed. I would have looked at pressure if that was available, but I'm not quite sure on your 14 that is available. And then it's hard to go on a search and destroy mission, because I wouldn't want it. My technician say, well, next thing we need to do is pull the oil pan. Then we need to flush the torque converter. And then we need to check the motor mounts. And then we need to look at that back tranny mount to make sure it's not transmitting this vibration throughout the whole car. Yeah, you're kind of between a rock and a hard spot. You had two choices. Wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or go chase it. And
you always want to resolve the misfire issue before, of course, replacing a transmission. So and they're very commonly mistaken, whether it's by the owner, shops, things like that. It happens.
It happens to us.
Oh, it happens all the time.
And I mean, so the misfire and the shift and the transmission, and you can't go by the mileage, because I've objected publicly to anybody going by, well, at 140, your transmission's, you know, been around the world 6 times. Let's replace it. That's just not good enough. My techs are not allowed to do that. We're not going to repair your car by guessing, by golly. But what you talk about has happened at our shop and everybody else's shop. The misfire and the transmission. Well, those camshafts we're doing on the GMs.
Yeah.
They cause all kinds of codes that are completely unrelated to a lobe that's been worn off.
Yeah.
And so I think what happens here is, as many times, including my own shop, we depend on the codes to at least give us direction. But there's a lot of time the code gives us direction, but it's telling us to go to Tucson and we need to go to Flagstaff. And so that's kind of what happens. I don't know what else to tell you, but I know that I've walked in those shoes, and I know our shop walks in those shoes, and it could happen once a year, 2 times a year, or it could happen once every 2 years, but it happens where we misdiagnose it.
But I don't even know if it's, I mean, is it really even a misdiagnosis?
You're right. If there was a misfire and it was fixed, then there was two problems.
And then he drops the pan and sees that there's metal, so at the end, he would still have been in the same boat. But I guess doing more, finding out for sure is probably a better thing. Yeah. You know, pulling the pan is, it's more money and you've spent more time, but you're verifying that 100% it needs to be done.
But a pan full of metal is only about half the time. There's clutch material in there and there's going to be some metal flakes. So if you pull the pan and you lose 4, 5, 6 quarts, and you look at it and you go, this is kind of a normal setting.
Yeah.
You know, that's
for
the
age
tough
and
part.
Mileage and stuff like that. It's not abnormal.
Right. But on the other hand, you take it apart and there's tablespoons of ground up metal and clutch materials in piles underneath the clutch packs. You go, okay, well, this is the issue.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's tough, Bob. I'm sorry that you had that problem, but it's something that, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up to me, but I don't have an answer for you other than to tell you that diagnosis is sometimes, and it's, for us, we do that not often. I'm proud to say not often, but we have diagnosed it as a misfire and it wasn't. We have diagnosed it as a bad tire and it wasn't. We've diagnosed it as an exhaust system hum and it wasn't an exhaust system hum. And I'm not saying that that's recently. I'm just saying those are ones that are on the top of my hard drive right now.
Yeah.
And that happens. But anyway, thanks very much, Bob. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. One of the shops in the central Phoenix area, I-17 and Bell Road, is Kurt's Auto Repair. I'm really proud to be a part of his family operation in the sense that we tell people that if you live in the area of 19, I-17 and Bell Road, and you don't already have a repair shop that you really love, then try Kurt's. I've been talking to Kurt on a regular basis for the last 15 years. We met when I sent a lady to him, because I had heard he was a good shop. I sent a lady to him who had been told she needed a new engine. Kurt replaced the oil pressure switch and gave her the truck back and promised her she didn't need a new engine and the oil light wouldn't come back on. And she called me a week later and she says, what a wonderful man he is. I've had a lot of calls like that about Kurt's. They just know the answer, and they know how to find the answer, and they're not going to tell you, well, before I can fix your misfire, I need to replace all your spark plugs and all your ignition wires, and I need to rebuild your carburetor, and I need to do an injector flush. It's not that way with car repair, and it's not that way at Kurt's. So that's I-17 and I-17 and
Bell.
And I'm sitting here looking at the clock wondering how close I am.
Oh, no.
To the end.
Fine.
And so 602-508-0960 if you have a car or a question, or we take motorhomes and trailers and golf carts and lawnmowers.
Yeah.
What kind of oil do I use in my lawnmower? It depends on how much blue smoke's coming out of the exhaust pipe. The more blue smoke that's coming out of the exhaust pipe, you go from 30 weight to 40 weight to 50 weight. And that should control the smoke. But it's embarrassing to be mowing your grass and having your neighbors all come out and this blue smoke is being emanated from your lawnmower and they all go in and start shutting all their windows because you're out there fogging for mosquitoes with your lawnmower. Who's on the phone, Gil?
Say hello to Larry.
Larry, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a shuttle driver, so I hear you every Saturday. I really enjoy your you had many times when you've talked about oil and the different types, but I've never heard you talk about the filter. If you're going 15,000 miles on an oil change, do you need to change the filter in between? And is there any difference in filters?
Okay, that's a great question. I'm going to change it, though, just slightly. Mark, how often does your shop have a problem that's related to an oil filter that's plugged up? And Andy?
Never.
Never is the right answer.
Yeah.
Never. First of all, the filter will filter till it plugs up, but then it's going to bypass, and the oil's going to come into the filter and go right back to the engine. We don't have anything to know that. But as far as a filter being plugged up, what oftentimes you take the filter off, and the top of it's full of what looks like custard. And then you start looking around and you see evidence of oil and water and foam and all this other kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, the filters of today are certainly the very best filters we've ever had. And they're certainly capable of going 7, 10, 12, 15,000 miles. No problem at all.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I were you, I'd buy the cheapest I could find. I'd buy the
really?
Cheapest. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, take a little scale with you and we'll start weighing them. And you're going to find out they all weigh the same. They have the same amount of paper. They have the same backflow valve. The can is the same. The gasket's the same. There's no real difference.
Okay, I'm an old white-haired guy, and I remember the days when you put a roll of toilet paper in.
Well, that was if you were driving a motorhome that had no bathroom. I'm teasing you. And folks, what he's talking about, he's right. In the old days, you could take they had a big canister and they had a wing nut on the top with the lid with an O-ring. So you're going to change the filter. You take the wing nut off, you take the lid off, and you pull out this thing covered in chocolate custard.
Yeah.
And then you'd put, well, there was a couple of guys that said, well, I want to try a roll of toilet paper. Well, it worked pretty damn good. The problem with the roll of toilet paper is because the paper wasn't contained in a can, like a filter is, that pieces of those would end up in other places, and that caused problems as well. But really and truly, as far as the filter's concerned, I think we sell Champ, or what do we sell?
No, Pronto.
Pronto. So we're buying Pronto oil filters, and I truly don't know who makes those. But Champ's a good one. Delco's a good one. Mopar's a good one. Ford's a good one. But there isn't a Ford factory that makes that. It's kind of like oil. Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, and Chevron make all the oils for the United States.
Yeah, most of your shops are going to carry, you know, a certain line of oil filters. I mean, you're not really stocking a bunch of different brands. You're just kind of, you have one that works good and universal. And
really and truly, we're not going to have a filter for the Nissan and the Toyota and the Hyundai and the Kia. We're not going to have it. We're going to look in our book, and our oil filter company makes an oil filter for that car.
Yeah.
So we rarely have to go to what we call the second tier.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's, you know, spark plugs in the old days were like 79 cents, and today they can be $10, $20.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. But they're 100,000 miles or even higher than that. And they're high energy ignition, so in the old days you had 15,000 volts, and today you have enough volts to make you pee your pants.
Yeah.
So if you get bit by a car of today, it hurts. Where in the days of old, long before you were alive, you went to the fair, and there was a six-cylinder engine there, and the guy had a big crowd around him, and he's talking and jabbering and everything with his microphone. So he says, watch this. And so he starts this six-cylinder engine up, and he reaches down with his fingers, and you can see as he touches, and the spark plug wires are connected to the spark plug, but no boot.
Mm-hmm.
So he touches the spark plug wires, and then he touches the engine, and he kills the engine. And it was amazing to see it. Everybody wanted to see that guy at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, today you'd never do that.
No.
Because it would hurt so bad. Because back then it was 15,000 volts, and today it might be 150,000 volts. But it's not big amperage. The amperage is what really hurts you, but voltage stings you.
Yeah.
So in the old days, that's what we saw at the fair. And then you had all kinds of people that were half the motor had spark plugs and half it didn't. And then he'd say, these three are Autolite and these three are some other yuck brand. And look at, I take these three apart and look at the RPMs, 400. And I take these apart and look at the RPMs, it's 600. Well, at the same time, he disconnected a vacuum line that caused a loss of RPM. And so it was just a big tricky dicky kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
So anyway, we don't have any callers, do we? Gil, can we just laugh for the rest of the hour?
The lines are open.
We're going to be here for another hour. So if you'd like to join us, the number is 602-508-0960. You have a 1 in 5 chance right now, 602-508-0960. And I'll get it right because my left brain's doing this and my right brain's doing that. There's what, if you can think about it, what is it that one thing that we have the most front counter conversations about? Is it tires? Is it brakes? Is it oil changes? Is it maintenance schedules? And you know, what kind of front, and you're on the front counter a lot.
Yeah, I would say, a big topic is maintenance.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, you know, get estimates for a lot of maintenance and they're trying to decipher, do I need to spend this money? Do I not? That kind of a thing. Our approach has kind of always been, look at the fluids, not necessarily just by mileage. So look at your coolant. Does it look good? Is it, you know, testing good? All of that kind of stuff. If it looks good, smells good, all of that, tastes good, then we leave it in your vehicle.
We have a couple of technicians that might taste it. Ron might taste it. The old gray-haired guys, Eddie, might taste it.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, you'd say to him, how do you know? And there's no way he could know the taste of anything.
But they
throw that out there just for the effect of, you know, and the young technicians are going, what did he just do?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it is just that, or people have gotten estimates from other shops and, you know, just want second opinions.
And what percentage of the time, we don't have much time, what mm-hmm. percentage of the time do we agree with the other percentage, or with the other, with that kind of thing? I'm thinking it's north of 60.
That we agree?
Yeah, that we agree that the diagnosis, that leaves 40% of them that we don't agree that this diagnosis is going to fix this problem. And if you don't like my 60-40, then pick one.
I don't know that it's...
You'll have time to take care of it, because we're going to take a break in 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Back to you, Gil. This. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We have three lines open. We've got Nick and Alan, and then that means we have three lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we're going to clear something up. What are we going to talk about? Oh, I know what it was.
How many times we agree?
What do you think?
I would say on diagnosis stuff, I would say maybe 50% or more. I think more where we disagree is going to be on just recommended repairs.
Recommended service intervals?
Yes, services, maintenance, that kind of stuff. Because we just really go by, we want to see your vehicle in front of us and know, you know, is this filter actually dirty, or are we just replacing it based off of mileage? So I think that's where we probably tend to most disagree.
Okay. And I get lots of emails, as you well know, mm-hmm. and there is so much of, I had my car in and they said I need spark plugs. And my response is your car's 3 years old, and typically they're somewhere close to 75 to 100,000 miles. Look at your owner's manual. So I challenged you during the break, and you pulled up owner's manuals for any car that I gave you the year, make, and model on the internet, and you punched in what, service manual or service intervals?
Yeah, but a lot of it didn't give me something like we can see. We mm-hmm. have different programs that we can see at work that you subscribe to or pay for that will give, you can put in any vehicle and it will give us the maintenance intervals, 30, 60.
So that's something you can do from the front counter.
Yes.
So if they come in, they want spark plugs and tranny services and hoses and belts at 50, you can print up there the recommended service intervals and say, none of these apply.
Yes.
It's too early.
Yes, but on stuff where I'm saying we're most disagreeing is a lot of places will just do it based off of that mileage. Spark plugs is something, yes, you're going
to
do based off of mileage. Yes,
yeah.
But fluids and things like that, some owners want to just do them regardless based off of mileage, which is fine. Some owners say, well, if the filter looks clean and it is, you know, cabin air filter, engine air filter, it's clean or can be blown out, I don't want to replace it. Just blow it out and put it back in. Or,
I get that.
You know, coolant, it's fine. It's green. It's whatever color it's supposed to be. You know, it's fine. I don't want to service it if it doesn't need it. Okay, well, if it was my car, I wouldn't service it, but you have the option. So that kind of a conversation with the customers.
And so let me defend myself. The problem is I know that you can hold two spark plugs up, two oil samples from oil, two oil samples of transmission fluid, two oil samples of brake fluid. You can have two fan belts in your hand and two hoses in your hand, and half of our industry says it's a bad part, and
yes.
the other half says it's a good part.
Yes.
And so I've always sat down hard on miles because I'm more comfortable with miles than looking. And it's if you bring your car in and you're a female, and this doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a hell of a lot, and you say, am I due for belts and hoses? They're going to do an odometer glance real quick. And if you're over 40, 50, they're going to say yes. They're not even going to look at the belts. They'll pretend they look at the bad guys I'm talking about,
yeah.
which is about one in 25, 30 shops.
Yeah.
They're going to do what betters their financial condition rather than what's yours.
Yeah.
Is.
And as a vehicle owner, you have to know your service history. You need to be in the know. You cannot rely on anyone mm-hmm. to just, I mean, these shops, our shop, everybody, we're servicing a lot of cars. We can see if you've serviced at our shop, particularly other mm-hmm. shops too. They can see your history if you've established a relationship with them. So they can know, yes, your radiator hoses have been done. No, they have not. You're at this mileage. Things like that. But also as an owner, you need to know those things.
Yes.
You need to know when they're due or ask your shop, when are these due? I mean, there's, you've got some skin in the game. It's I think people are relying too heavily on a shop or anybody okay. else to just make all of these decisions and to maintain their car. And you have to be in the know.
We want the people that know what they want just to tell us that. I want you to flush my transmission.
That's fine. Yeah.
That's fine. We're not even going to ask you what your mileage is.
I mean, I'm going to ask, why are you wanting us to flush it if you're asking me, you know?
Because if you got a drivability problem, this ain't going to fix the drivability problem.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I see what you're saying.
And they Googled it. And one of the very first things was a guy in South Carolina says if you just change the transmission fluid, then it won't shutter anymore.
Yeah.
But the shutter was a spark plug, and it had nothing to do with the transmission.
Well, and that's just saving people from themselves because they're Googling, you know, Googling all sorts of...
Okay. All right, how many customers do we have?
35,000.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in being their daddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A large portion of them have to be involved in the maintenance of the cars.
Just come in and tell
your
shop
symptoms.
The symptoms,
yeah.
Not what you researched online.
Okay, Nick, you're up first. How can I help you, Nick?
Hey, I got a simple question for you.
Sure.
I'm going to change the pan gasket in my minivan. I bought one online, and it's got the rubber in it already, but do I need to put RTV on that thing too?
If you put too much RTV on it, too much silicone, it's going to slip on you when you're tightening it up, and that's going to be bad. So the film
right.
of RTV, in my opinion, should be on one side of the gasket. So you're either going to put it on the pan or you're going to put it on the metal portion of the block where the pan bolts to. Thin.
So I can put it on. I can RTV it to the pan, let that set, and then put it on. So
yes.
Let it set so it doesn't slip.
If you let it, okay. That's key words. Thank you very much for thinking about that. Yes, and take the oil pan, put a thin film on the gasket or on the oil pan, turn it over, and put a sack of cement on top of the can, and that will really. I don't mean. Just put something heavier. Use it as
kind of press it.
You know, something like that to kind of lock it together. Because we see that
right.
all the time. Mm-hmm. So I admire that you're doing it. But a thin film on one side, get it to stick to the pan because it's going to be easier to put the pan on with it there than trying to stick it with the gasket on the block.
Or slide out as you're taking it.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't want that to happen. I'm trying to get rid of a leak, not cause one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think your success rate went up a lot in my heart. You're up to 90-95%.
Yeah.
And you're no different than me. So I would put my success rate at 99 for because there's been times I've put an oil pan on it and it came back within a day or an hour and I had made a mistake.
Right.
So, alrighty, thank you very much for that, Nick. Thank you.
Okay,
Alan, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mike, long time listener, long time caller too. I have a Jeep Cherokee and they keep sending me to renew my It's out of warranty,
uh-huh.
and they keep asking me to renew my warranty. What do you think about the extended warranty? Okay.
No.
I think she said it for me, too.
No.
I think she said it. Well, let me tell you. Let's tell them why.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's a fight. Every single damn time we get somebody in with some aftermarket warranty. Because we got an oil leak at the pan, and they send out this adjuster who was born yesterday, or he was born 100 years ago. He's never been a mechanic. He was a donut maker at Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. And he's telling us how to fix the car. We hate that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is number one, whoever sells you it tells you everything is covered, right? And that's never the case. Secondly, they won't. A lot of times pay for diagnosis for the shop, so then that's out of your pocket. They will only cover, if a part is $20, they will only cover 10 of it. They don't cover shop supplies, they don't cover environmental, which is all part of auto repair expenses and things that
sales
the customer.
Sales tax. They don't do sales
yeah.
tax.
Yeah. So you're paying $2,000 and $3,000, whatever, for the policy. They're covering minimal, and you're going to still, no matter what they tell you, you're still going to be out of pocket. Even if it's a zero deductible, all of that thing, you're still going to be out of a pocket some portion yeah. of money.
And we deal with that once, twice, three times a week?
Probably not that much. Okay. But
how many a month? How many times a month?
Maybe a handful, five okay. to ten, maybe,
okay.
if that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We just, and we're in the middle. And on one hand, we'd like to stand up for the customer, but we can't, because the truth is the truth, no matter what the customer says or what the aftermarket yeah. warning says. Then when the customer gets there, and like Andy said, shop supplies and environmental charges, sales tax, and a bunch of other diagnostic dollars, and a couple of this, because I can buy that alternator for $110 and you want to charge her $130, so I'm only going to give you $110 for that alternator. Well, my alternator's got a 6-month warranty or a year and a half warranty, and yours has a 90-day warranty. I don't care. That's the kind of stuff we have.
Yeah. Our kind of thought process is save the money that you would spend on the extended warranty, and when bills arise, use that money to pay for the repairs.
That's a good idea. Drop your money off and give it to Andy, and she'll help you with your repairs for this time forward.
That's what I thought about, you know, just opening a separate bank account and just throwing a couple of hundred in there.
Yeah, I'll bet you an oil change that you come out where you're better off without it than you are with it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you an oil change. And providing you don't drive a Freightliner with 30 quarts of oil, okay?
Yeah.
So if you got a 4-quart system or a 5-quart system, I'll bet you that. But anyway, Alan, thank you very much. Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And if you want to give us a call and ask us a hard question or have a discussion, then you're more than welcome to do that. We talked about Kurt's Auto, but down the street and to the west of him is Larry Harker's Auto. And I talk about Larry Harker's Auto a lot because they're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. And Bob and Ellen. Ellen's the front counter lady, and she knows more about cars than half the guys that I hang out with. But she's very nice and very pleasant. But you're not going to tell her something without her asking you to, not defend it, but to explain it. And she's not going to let you determine what the repair is. Bob, on the other hand, is in the shop. He is so well skilled and so smart with fundamentals of cars, emissions, air fuel mixture, tailpipes, EGR controls, injector pulse width. He's got it all. So they do tune-ups and they do basic oil changes and everything up to every time I turn on my Ford, the horn honks and there's a big puddle of coolant under the car. That's the kind of stuff he's really, really good at. So it's called Harker's Auto, Larry Harker's Auto. They've been around since 1967, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and it's a great place to go. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You have a 1 in 5 chance, and if you give us a call, we'll handle your car question, or we'll settle the dispute between you and your brother, or you and your wife, or
you and Google.
You and Google. See, we make fun of that because you have to understand that we hear that every single day. I Googled my car, and they said that I need to replace the tires. Okay, well, let's start with the symptoms. What's the symptoms? Well, every time I start it, it belches blue smoke. And then you go, what the hell is the relationship between blue smoke and replacing your tires? So those are the kinds of things I think.
Yeah, we
joke about it, but really and truly, if you want to take 5 steps backwards when you walk into an auto repair shop, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, Google says, that's like saying, you know, all my neighbors said that your shop really sucks, but I'm here anyway. it's just not really a good idea. So 602-508-0960.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we have 3 lines open. We've got Nick and Alan, and then that means we have 3 lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we're going to clear something up. What we're going to talk about? Oh, I know what it was.
How many times we agree?
How many times we agree? What do you think?
I would say on diagnosis stuff, I would say maybe 50% or more. I think more where we disagree is going to be on just recommended repairs.
Recommended service intervals?
Yes, services, maintenance, that kind of stuff. Because we just really go by, we want to see your vehicle in front of us and know, you know, is this filter actually dirty or are we just replacing it based off of mileage? So I think that's where we probably tend to most disagree.
Okay. And I get lots of emails, as you well know, and there is so much of, I had my car in and they said I need spark plugs. And my response is your car's 3 years old and typically they're somewhere close to 75 to 100,000 miles. Look at your owner's manual. So I challenged you during the break and you pulled up owner's manuals for any car that I gave you the year, make, and model on the internet, and you punched in what, service manual or service intervals?
Yeah, but a lot of it didn't give me something like we can see. We have different programs that we can see at work that you subscribe to or pay for that will give, you can put in any vehicle and it will give us the maintenance intervals, 30, 60.
So that's something you can do from the front counter.
Yes.
So if they come in, they want spark plugs and tranny services and hoses and belts at 50, you can print up there the recommended service intervals and say, none of these apply.
Yes.
But too early.
Yes, but on stuff where I'm saying we're most disagreeing is a lot of places will just do it based off of that mileage. Spark plugs is something, yes, you're going
to
do based off of mileage. Yes.
Yeah.
But fluids and things like that, you can, some owners want to just do them regardless based off of mileage, which is fine. Some owners say, well, if the filter looks clean and is, you know, cabin air filter, engine air filter, it's clean or can be blown out, I don't want to replace it. Just blow it out and put it back in. Or,
I get that.
You know, coolant, it's fine. It's green. It's whatever color it's supposed to be. You know, it's fine. I don't want to service it if it doesn't need it. Okay, well, if it was my car, I wouldn't service it, but you have the option. So that kind of a conversation with the customers.
And so let me defend myself. The problem is I know that you can hold two spark plugs up, two oil samples from oil, two oil samples of transmission fluid, two oil samples of brake fluid. You can have two fan belts in your hand and two hoses in your hand, and half of our industry says it's a bad part, and the other half says it's a good part. And so I've always sat down hard on miles because I'm more comfortable with miles than looking. And it's, if you bring your car in and you're a female, and this doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a hell of a lot, and you say, am I due for belts and hoses? They're going to do an odometer glance real quick. And if you're over 40, 50, they're going to say yes. They're not even going to look at the belts. They'll pretend they look at the bad guys I'm talking about, which is about one in 25, 30 shops.
Yeah.
They're going to do what betters their financial condition rather than what's yours.
Yeah.
Is.
And as a vehicle owner, you have to know your service history. You need to be in the know. You cannot rely on anyone to just, I mean, these shops, our shop, everybody, we're servicing a lot of cars. We can see if you've serviced at our shop, particularly other shops too. They can see your history if you've established a relationship with them. So they can know, yes, your radiator hoses have been done. No, they have not. You're at this mileage. Things like that. But also as an owner, you need to know those things.
Yes.
You need to know when they're due or ask your shop, when are these due? I mean, there's... You got some skin in the game. It's. I think people are relying too heavily on a shop or anybody else to just make all of these decisions and to maintain their car. And you have to be in the know.
We want the people that know what they want just to tell us that. I want you to flush my transmission.
That's fine. Yeah.
That's fine. We're not even going to ask you what your mileage is.
I mean, I'm going to ask, why are you wanting us to flush it if you're asking me, you know?
Because if you got a drivability problem, this ain't going to fix the drivability problem.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I see what you're saying.
And they Googled it. And one of the very first things was, is a guy in South Carolina says, if you just change the transmission fluid, then it won't shutter anymore.
Yeah.
But the shutter was a spark plug, and it had nothing to do with the transmission.
Well, and that's just saving people from themselves because they're Googling, you know, Googling all sorts of...
All right, how many customers do we have?
35,000.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in being their daddy. You know what I mean? Yeah. A large portion of them have to be involved in the maintenance of the cars.
Just come in and tell
your
shop
symptoms.
The symptoms,
yeah.
Not what you researched online.
Okay, Nick, you're up first. How can I help you, Nick?
Hey, I got a simple question for you.
Sure.
I'm going to change the pan gasket in my minivan. I bought one online, and it's got the rubber in it already, but do I need to put RTV on that thing too?
If you put too much RTV on it, too much silicone, it's going to slip on you when you're tightening it up, and that's going to be bad. So the film of RTV, in my opinion, should be on one side of the gasket. So you're either going to put it on the pan or you're going to put it on the metal portion of the block where the pan bolts to.
Okay. Thin, so I can put it on, I can RTV it to the pan, let that set, and then put it on so it doesn't let it set so it doesn't slip.
If you let it, that's key words. Thank you very much for thinking about that. Yes. And take the oil pan. Put a thin film on the gasket or on the oil pan, turn it over, and put a sack of cement on top of the can. And that will really, I don't mean, just put something heavier. Use it as,
kind of press it.
You know, use something like that to just to kind of lock it together. Because we see that all the time. Mm-hmm. So I admire that you're doing it, but a thin film on one side, get it to stick to the pan because it's going to be easier to put the pan on with it there than trying to stick it with the gasket on the block.
Or slide out as you're taking it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that to happen. I'm trying to get rid of a leak, not cause one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think your success rate went up a lot in my heart. You're up to 95%.
Yes.
And you're no different than me. So I would put my success rate at 99 for, because there's 10 times I've put an oil pan on it and it came back within a day or an hour and I had made a mistake. So, alrighty. Thank you very much for that, Nick. Thank you.
Okay.
Alan, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mike, long time listener and long time caller too. I have a Jeep Cherokee and they keep sending me to renew it's out of warranty, and they keep asking me to renew my warranty. What do you think about the extended warranties?
Okay. No.
I think she said it for me, too. No. I think she said it. Well, let me tell you. Let's tell them why.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's a fight. Every single damn time we get somebody in with some aftermarket warranty. Because we got an oil leak at the pan, and they sent out this adjuster who was born yesterday, or he was born 100 years ago. He's never been a mechanic. He was a donut maker at Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. And he's telling us how to fix the car. We hate that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, number one, whoever sells you it tells you everything is covered, right? And that's never the case. Secondly, they won't. A lot of times pay for diagnosis for the shop, so then that's out of your pocket. They will only cover, if a part is $20, they will only cover 10 of it. They don't cover shop supplies. They don't cover environmental, which is all part of auto repair expenses and things that
sales
the customer.
Sales tax, they don't do sales tax.
Yeah. So you're paying $2,000 and $3,000, whatever, for the policy. They're covering minimal, and you're going to still, no matter what they tell you, you're still going to be out of pocket. Even if it's a zero deductible, all of that thing, you're still going to be out of a pocket some portion of money.
And we deal with that once, twice, three times a week?
Probably not that much.
Okay.
But
how many a month? How many times a month?
Maybe a handful, five to ten, maybe, if that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just, and we're in the middle. And on one hand, we'd like to stand up for the customer, but we can't, because the truth is the truth, no matter what the customer says or what the aftermarket warranty says. Then when the customer gets there, and like Andy said, shop supplies and environmental charges, sales tax, and a bunch of other diagnostic dollars and a couple of this, because I can buy that alternator for $110 and you want to charge her $130, so I'm only going to give you $110 for that alternator. Well, my alternator's got a 6-month warranty or a year and a half warranty, and yours has a 90-day warranty. I don't care. That's the kind of stuff we have.
Yeah. Our kind of thought process is save the money that you would spend on the extended warranty, and when bills arise, use that money to pay for the repairs.
That's a good idea. Drop your money off and give it to Andy, and she'll help you with your repairs for this time forward.
That's what I thought about. You know, just opening a separate bank account and just throwing a couple of hundred in that.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'll tell you, I'll bet you an oil change that you come out where you're better off without it than you are with it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you an oil change. That's providing you don't drive a Freightliner with 30 quarts of oil, okay? Yeah. So if you've got a 4-quart system or a 5-quart system, I'll bet you that. But anyway, Alan, thank you very much. Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And if you want to give us a call and ask us a hard question or have a discussion, then you're more than welcome to do that. We talked about Kurt's Auto, but down the street and to the west of him is Larry Harker's Auto. And I talk about Larry Harker's Auto a lot because they're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. And Bob and Ellen. Ellen's the front counter lady, and she knows more about cars than half the guys that I hang out with. But she's very nice and very pleasant. But you're not going to tell her something without her asking you to, not defend it, but to explain it. And she's not going to let you determine what the repair is. Bob, on the other hand, is in the shop. He is so well skilled and so smart with fundamentals of cars, emissions, air fuel mixture, tailpipes, EGR controls, injector pulse width. He's got it all. So they do tune-ups and they do basic oil changes and everything up to every time I turn on my Ford, the horn honks and there's a big puddle of coolant under the car. That's the kind of stuff he's really, really good at. So it's called Harker's Auto, Larry Harker's Auto. They've been around since 1967, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and it's a great place to go. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You have a 1 in 5 chance, and if you give us a call, we'll handle your car question or we'll settle the dispute between you and your brother or you and your wife or
you and Google.
And you and Google. See, we make fun of that because you have to understand that we hear that every single day. I Googled my car, and they said that I need to replace the tires. Okay, well, let's start with the symptoms. What's the symptoms? Well, every time I start it, it belches blue smoke. And then you go, what the hell is the relationship between blue smoke and replacing your tires? So those are the kinds of things I think.
Yeah, we just hate joke about
the word.
It.
We joke about it, but really and truly, if you want to take 5 steps backwards when you walk into an auto repair shop, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is Google says. That is just you. That's like saying, you know, all my neighbors said that your shop really sucks, but I'm here anyway. it's just not really a good idea. So 602-508-0960.
Hi, it's Jim Ryan, General Manager of 960 The Patriot. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal activity in the world, and Arizona is the main transit point in the U.S. The average lifespan of a victim is 7 years. Just 7 years. They die in an attack from abuse, HIV and STDs, malnutrition, overdose, and suicide. The average age of a child is first trafficked is 13 years old. Picture a 13-year-old you know. Makes you shiver, doesn't it? Our culture, our community has a responsibility to do something about this. Here's how. The nation's largest trafficking rescue program is right here at the Phoenix Dream Center. And 960 The Patriot has a goal to raise $50,000 for their new Hope Haven wing. Please donate whatever you can. You can also be a Patriot business benefactor. If you own a business and can make a larger donation, I'll give you the equal amount back in advertising. Donate $5,000 and I'll give you $5,000 in ads on 960 The Patriot. Go to 960thepatriot.com or call 602-955-9600.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. And it was time to put up. I had crossed that thin line. It was 100 plus degrees. We were hot.
We were on fire. We were yelling our hearts out. You could feel the intensity rising. Even in our tiredness, even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continue to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. Not many people believe that I could do it. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
PFC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done
strong."
Give me
just a second here, Gil, because I screwed up. Alrighty. Anyway, 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and I need to kill that. And give me just a second here while I stop that madness. I thought I pushed
okay, well,
pause.
You're on the
I know, I know, I know, I know. It's just that I just screwed up. You're going to have to send me the second hour, Gil.
Not a problem.
Okay. Send me the second hour because I just muffed it real big. So anyway, real quick, we talked about Larry Harker's Auto, but let me talk about Strictly Diesel real quick. Nate at Strictly Diesel is the king of Chevy, Ford, and Dodge diesel trucks. Suspensions, transmissions, injectors, diagnosis. He's up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. He's been around a very long time, and when you meet him, you'll understand quickly how really good he is. So if you've got a diesel that nobody else can fix, then you might want to try Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. And again, it's I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Peter, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hello, Mark. I'm calling with a thank you call. I spoke with you about a month ago on a 07 Cadillac XLR. It's the two-seater with the North Star V8 in it.
Uh-huh.
And took it in for its emissions and had no problems with it beforehand. When I was in, they told me I needed a new gas cap on it. So they offered and put on a gas cap for free. And within a couple of days, the check engine light came on. I had it checked, and the code said I needed a new fuel tank pressure sensor. And I find this entire situation highly suspicious, so I'm calling for all your listeners, too. You told me to get a gas cap that belonged to that car and to disconnect the negative battery terminal. So I ordered a gas cap for the 07 XLR, put it on there, disconnected the battery negative terminal, and check engine light went off, and everything's fine.
Okay.
Good.
So it's a thank you call.
Okay. Well, and it turned out good, didn't it?
It did, and I just find it kind of weird that they would take my gas cap, which wasn't causing any problems beforehand, put something else on there. And by the way, the configuration of the gas cap underneath it is entirely different. The one they put on there is nothing like the one I ordered for the car,
yeah,
for that particular model. So
it's possible that the technician was given the car, and perhaps everything you said wasn't properly transcribed to the work order, so the technician may have had a small amount of information. The technician went in and looked at the code, if that's what it went in for, with the code, and condemned the gas cap and put a gas cap on and didn't do any pressure testing of the gas cap, didn't do any other work, didn't say, "I want to clear the code and I want you to drive it again, and I want you to come in. If it goes back on, I want fresh information, so I want you to come back in." There's lots of possibilities, and the possibilities, those exist in my shop as well. If we do, how many cars a year do we do? Do you have any idea? Or how many repair orders we do?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know offhand.
Okay. A lot.
Well, Mark,
and
this
happens at my
shop
too.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is it was the emissions place that gave me the gas cap. I went in to have the emissions checked on it, and the emissions people told me, so they were the ones that gave me a gas cap for free and took the gas cap that was on the car and said they wouldn't pass the emissions at the state facility without them putting a free gas cap on the car. Okay. And as soon as they did that, within a couple of days, now I get a code on the car.
Okay. Yeah.
So those, I mean, so that at the emissions place, I mean, I don't know.
That's strange. I mean, that's strange in and of itself because you typically don't hear about emission stations doing anything like that.
It's a customer service that they incorporated not too long ago.
Okay.
I think it's been at least a year. And they're trying to be nice, and I'm going to defend them a little bit here. They're trying to be nice because, according to their statistics, this is a failure problem. And according to the people we've talked to, a gas cap fits 79.3% of all the car. So we have two issues here. Number one, the gas cap can be easily checked, not in an emission station, but can be tested by equipment that we have to determine if it's going to maintain pressure. So they put the cap on, evidently the wrong cap. Now we have the pressure sensor. The tank is no longer pressurized, so the pressure sensor's squawking. So the next thing would be is let's replace the pressure sensor. We're going to have a new pressure sensor code. We didn't fix it. And then we come back to the gas cap.
Yeah.
And so I think their heart's in the right place, and I bet that their success rate is north of 90%. North of 90% by replacing the gas cap when we have an evaporative failure. That's what the key is, an evaporative failure.
Yeah, but sometimes some vehicles can be really sensitive too. They might just have put some aftermarket. Sometimes they can be very sensitive to aftermarket gas caps as well.
Yep.
So by him getting the specific one for his vehicle is probably
the best thing that can happen.
Yeah.
But most of them are made by Stant. Go ahead.
The other piece of advice you gave me when I called the first time, which I want to pass along again as a reminder, is you said to me, well, you should have kept the old gas cap.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, yeah. So I'm saying to all your listeners, if they give you that line at the emissions check place, at least keep your old gas cap and you won't have to reorder a new one like I have to.
But they may not do that because if you and I were in charge of the vehicle emissions, we want it, and if we're going to diagnose it as a bad one, we don't want that cap on the road no matter what. We don't want Joe to take it home and put it on his mother's car.
Yeah, they want inventory in and out.
Yes.
So they might not. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But yeah, from the business of their standpoint, they're going to want inventory in and out so they can account for. You were giving you one, we're getting one, you know.
And so the guys aren't taking them home to put on their aunt's car or their lawnmower or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, thank you for your thank you, Peter. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Don, you're up next. Don?
Yeah.
Yes,
my wife has a 2005 Highlander. And I got two questions on it. She recently had some work done on it, had an oil change done, and she was on her way back from Sholo, and it said maintenance required. So I break out the manual, look at it. She said she just had the oil change, so she probably put less than 1,000 miles on it since. And I can't find anything in the owner's manual on how to reset that maintenance required, or should I just take it back to the shop that did the oil change?
No.
You could take it back to them and have them reset it. It's very easy. You can also go on oilreset.com or something like that. I think it's oilreset.com. And you punch in your vehicle information, and it will tell you how to do it yourself.
Let me explain. The maintenance light is typically triggered by two factors, time and miles. Mm-hmm. So it's programmed that we're going to change your windshield wiper fluid at 30,000 miles. So when you get to 30, the maintenance require light comes on, and I'm using windshield wipers as a stupid example, but let's pretend I'm right about that. So it's going to say maintenance
required.
Well, Daniel
said oil change.
Okay, then we'll do oil change. It doesn't make any difference what we do. So it says it's due for an oil change. They did an oil change. They didn't see the maintenance required light because you said it came on after they did that. So they were right in doing the oil change. But they didn't reset the maintenance light because it wasn't on at the time. So I don't think they did that on purpose.
No.
I'm going to stick up for them because I'll tell you what, it happens at our shop as well.
Yes, it does. You can have them reset it. It's nothing to be concerned about. You can have them reset it, or you can reset it yourself.
Sometimes you turn the key on, don't start the engine, and you punch the throttle three times. Sometimes you get inside, you turn the key on, turn the radio up full blast, and scream for 3 seconds. Sometimes you sniff the tailpipe and open and close the door five times. And I'm being facetious, but each and every car almost always has a different process. But the customer can almost always perform the maintenance reset.
Yeah, if you go to that oilreset.com, it will ask you your vehicle information. It will walk you through the steps. If you cannot do it at home, it's going to let you know that you need a scan tool or some tool to do it. So if you can do it yourself, it will be on that website.
Okay.
My Dodge Ram, I mean, I could just go in and reset it.
Yeah.
And you already looked in the owner's manual to see if the reset was available?
Yeah, I didn't have anything in there.
Okay. Well, go to that oilreset.com and see what they say. But if it needs a scanner, then you're going to take it back to the shop that did the work or anybody else and say, would you be so kind as to replace my maintenance light? I just changed my oil, but I can't restart the maintenance light. Would you do that for me?
Yeah.
And if you walked into our shop, we'd do that.
And they can do it while you wait.
And they can do your, yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Don. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Take the Patriot with you wherever you go. The 960 The Patriot mobile app, your Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, and Odyssey.com. It's your voice of reason 24/7.
This is attorney William J. Wolfe, host of Middle East Radio Forum, heard every Sunday at noon here on 960 The Patriot.
This Sunday, attorney William Wolfe will interview Ken Abramowitz. The topic, Israel in crisis. In the aftermath of a rocket war from Gaza, while trying to bring judicial reform to a nation, half of whom have lost their minds.
That's Middle East Radio Forum, Sunday at noon on 960 The Patriot.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control. I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
Drug cartels are now targeting children by distributing rainbow-colored fentanyl pills, powders, and blocks, resembling candy and chalk. Learn more about how one pill can kill at onepillkilled.org.
All about that demon. Hello, welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And Andy had to go, so I guess the girls are going out to lunch, and they think lunch is at 12, and I think lunch is at 12:30, so I'll be here, and they'll be there. Nevertheless, we're up here in Payson right now, and all the kids got up and fed the fish, and we have a big fish tank for the horses, and we have goldfish that are about as big as a cell phone, and that's because the kids will go out and feed them three or four times a day. But, you know, it's just, it's fun. We buy them for like 9 cents a piece, and they're little bitty 1-inch long ones, and they grow into these much larger ones. But anyway, that's the fun that we're having this weekend. The lines are wide open. If you have a car question, then you call 1-602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, you can use 888-960-9696. So outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, 888-960-9696. And we have a caller already. Who might that be, Gil?
Hey, good morning to Jim.
Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Say, I have an update for you and a question.
Okay.
I called in, I don't know how many months ago, but it was a 390 FE engine, a Ford. And I gave it the onions, and I had low oil pressure.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember. Anyway, so I did the right thing. I took it apart and found out that the pickup tube was finger tight, you know, sucking air when it would get hot.
Uh-huh.
So figured out that, but then found another problem that a crack in the valley, and it leaked water into the oil, which evaporated once it got hot, so I never knew where it went. So
okay. Anyway,
I got that in pieces. But anyhow, I repaired the crack. And I have a question on a 2001 Dodge Dakota V6.
Okay.
I put a brand new battery in it, and now I got corrosion on the positive terminal more than I ever had before. And I was wondering, being that the alternator is being regulated by the ECU, I'm just wondering if it just overcharges it and then just cooks the battery.
Well, no, I don't think so, because that is something we see, but I would be lying if I knew that it was more than one time a year, and we might do 20 or 30 cars a day. So if you want to find out if it's an overcharging unit, then get out your DVOM, your digital voltometer, and start it up. And first of all, you're going to take your voltage with the key in your pocket, and let's say it's 12.8, and then you're going to start it up, and it should go to 13.8 or about 1 volt over that. Then you'll see it duck down when you turn on the air conditioning, but it'll come back up. So basically, you want somewhere between 13.5 and 14.5 to be your voltage reading, with a slight idle increase with no accessories on. So now the other possibility is that you didn't clean up the corrosion, and maybe you take the positive cable off. Maybe you stick that in a glass of baking soda mixed with water and walk away from it for 3 or 4 hours. Then you clean up the terminal with a wire brush and put it back on. But you should also clean up the terminal on the battery as well. But it's not uncommon, and it's happened in the past, where my guys won't clean the cables good, and it comes back with dirty cables, and it's all our fault.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I never had the issue before, but I was thinking it might be I put a brand new alternator on. I had an alternator failure, and then put a new one on, and then it all of a sudden having this overcharge system on there, and I've already tested it with a multimeter through the cigarette lighter off the battery, and it always reads 14.2 with no deviation. It doesn't go up or down.
Okay, I'm not. It's 13.8 to 14.5, somewhere around in there. I can't answer where the corrosion is, but I can tell you this much. When we cook a battery, because the alternator's running wild, because the regulator's lost sight of the battery. Did you hear me there? The regulator loses sight of the battery voltage because of a bad connection or a blown fuse, and that makes the alternator think, well, wait a minute, the voltage is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so the alternator starts cranking out big amps, but it's not going to leak around a terminal. It's going to leak around the caps. And so wherever the caps are, And so, but anyway, I'm glad you got it fixed, and I'm glad it worked out good for you. Let me comment about your oil leak and your low oil pressure. If you had called about that, I would have said to you, overfill the crankcase by 1 or 2 quarts of oil and go drive it for a day or so. If the oil pressure issue goes away, then you have an air leak above the level of the oil, and it's typically in the filter assembly or the screen assembly that manages the oil going to the fuel or the oil pump. So you could have diagnosed it by doing that, but you still fixed it, so you still hit a home run. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the call in, and thank you for giving us an update. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. There's five lines open, and we have 20 minutes left in the show. So if you'd like to ask a question, give us a call now.
Charlie Kirk sees no accountability.
The top levels of the FBI were working in harmony, in collusion together to try to take out Donald Trump, and it was all based on a lie. Who is in jail today because of what they did? And the answer is no one. They are popping champagne at Lois Lerner's house. Lisa Page is fine. James Comey is fine. Bruce and Nelly Orr are fine. Have these people ever been held accountable?
The Charlie Kirk Show, weekdays at noon on Intelligent Talk 960, The Patriot.
This is Matt Crowder, live at the gas station on 41st Street, reporting on those skyrocketing gas prices. Excuse me, miss. Are you buying less gas now because of the high prices?
Oh, I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Well, does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Well, there you have it. Stop paying full price for gas. Download the free Upside app and get real cash back every time you buy gas. This is Matt Crowder, Radio News Network. Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SPEED for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SPEED for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SPEED.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Looking for a radio station that cares about real news and not afraid to go beyond the headlines? There's only one station for you. 960 The Patriot and 960thepatriot.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour at 11 o'clock. I have one caller, Troy, and we have 16 minutes of radio left. So if you have a car question or a car problem, or if you want me to settle a disagreement between you and your wife, you and your brother, you and the shop, I can't really settle the disagreement, but I can comment on it for you. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 is the phone number. And Troy, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you.
We have a 2004 Toyota Corolla, and it's developed a really bad shimmying or shaking when you're braking, especially from, like, highway speeds. And I was wondering if you have any idea what might be causing that.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is you're driving down the road and everything is fine. The steering wheel is sitting in one place. There's no vibration felt in the steering wheel. And when you apply the brakes, then the steering wheel starts moving left and right, perhaps an inch left, an inch right. Is that right?
Yep, that's it exactly.
Okay. It could be a variety of things. It could be something loose in the front end. It could be a tie rod that's bad, a tie rod end that's bad. It could be a rack and pinion problem. It can be lower control arm bushings. There's a lot that it could be, but it also could be a brake problem. But typically it's not, because a brake problem doesn't necessarily come on and off, on and off, on and off. A brake problem would cause it to pull hard right or hard left, or when you apply the brakes, the whole car would shake. And so this really isn't that tough to diagnose. Most of the technicians in really good shops in town would only need to, you know, the technician should say to you, Troy, you drive, and I need you to make this happen as soon as possible, because you can't have me for the next 45 minutes while you try to get it to happen.
And right.
Because shops don't like that. So, and if you can make it happen, then you say, fine, I'm going to go around the block and I'll make it happen. And then the technician will probably say, let me drive. And so he's going to do the same thing. But this isn't a really big deal. The worst case scenario would you have like a wheel bearing, which is causing the rotor to wobble, which is causing the wobble you feel in the brake pedal. So that's probably the most expensive thing I can think about would be a wheel bearing. But this is, on a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 4 or a 5 in the diagnostic world. So do you have a garage that you already trust?
Well, no, not really, honestly.
Okay.
I've
what
been
part
taking
of town
it to the same, South Scottsdale.
Okay. Bell Automotive at 8700 East McDowell, right near the 101 Bell Automotive. Craig is there. His wife is there. And it would take Craig a mile to diagnose your car.
Oh, okay. And that's right by the freeways. And that's where it happens the worst, is when I'm coming, braking from higher speeds. It really starts shaking.
You know what's funny? Craig and I had a discussion not too long ago, and he says, both of us are blessed. And I said, wait a minute, if you're talking about our wives, then I'm going to disagree with you. And he started laughing. And he says, no, we have a freeway close by, so we can go test drive it for those freeway kind of symptoms. Well, we're on Warner Road, real close to the I-10, and, of course, he's right next to the 101 in McDowell. So that's what we were talking about. But you can also say to him, I talked to Mark Salem the other day, and he said that there's no way you're going to be able to diagnose this problem, so call him and he'll guide you. And all he'll do is laugh. That's all he'll do is laugh. There is, and I want to clarify this with you and everybody that's listening to you. If I were getting a kickback on your bill, I would say something like that so that he knew who sent you. I'm telling you unequivocally, 100%, when I send somebody to a shop, there is no kickback, there's no favors, there's no gift certificate to the local steakhouse, there's none of that that happens. And here's why. Because these guys are really, really good. And I'm sending you to a place I know is really, really good, and he'll figure this out for you. And he'll probably do it with you in the car. But don't go there, Troy, on Monday morning or Friday afternoon for obvious reasons, okay?
Sure, yeah. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the recommendation and the ideas of what it might be.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling. 602-508-0960. Gil, you got anybody on the...
Oh, phone lines are open.
Okay, phone lines are open. So like I said, it's 48 minutes after the hour, and I've got to get out of here at 58 minutes after the hour. So I've got 10 minutes, but I can talk for 10 minutes. Each and every one of you has an owner's manual, and in the owner's manual tells you when to do things. In our industry right now, we went from 3,000-mile oil changes to 10 and 15,000-mile oil changes. And let me tell you about the financial impact that's had. Every 3,000 miles, we got to change your oil and filter and grease your car. We got to inspect the steering, the suspension, the tires, the brakes, the belts, the hoses, and all the fluids. And most of us played by hard and fast rules, and we told you everything is fine, or we said, hey, we've got a problem, your brake fluid has got too much moisture in it, and we need to flush it, so arrange it at your time, and here's how much it is. Now we have cars that go 10 and 20,000 miles between oil changes. They use a synthetic oil, so we've lost a lot of this business. We've lost a lot of stuff that we sold directly related to a 3,000-mile oil change interval. 5,000-mile oil change interval, it doesn't make any difference. The problem is that people will have a problem, and they'll just wait till the next oil change, which could easily be 9, 10,000 miles. That's going to create a problem for us, because if we would have seen it earlier, we would have fixed it for half as much as we're going to tell you today, because you've now caused the right front tire to wear abnormally where the steel is hanging out, and we need to do suspension work on the right front. So now I'm going to bid the suspension work, parts and labor and alignment, but I'm also going to bid a new tire. So there's good and there's bad. A lot of folks like the idea of a longer oil change, but don't let anybody tell you what the oil change is unless you open up your owner's manual and you look for oil change interval. You can get on the internet and you can just query that I have a 2021 Honda Accord. What's the oil change interval and what kind of oil should I use? You can do all that kind of stuff on the internet. But the easiest way is just walk out and get your owner's manual out of your car. We have a caller. Who might that be?
Say good morning to Vern.
Vern, good morning.
I have a 56 T-Bird. A couple of years ago, I remember you saying if you're driving at speed, it runs a little warm. When you stop at a light, gauge goes down. It's probably the radiator, right?
Now, say, give me that again.
At speed, it runs hotter than it does at idle.
Okay, now, let me ask you, on the gauge, when you're at speed, is the needle quarter, half, three-quarters, or north of three-quarters?
Either three-quarters or more.
Okay, okay. And when you slow down and you start in city driving, where does the needle fall?
When I stop at a stoplight, it comes down to maybe three-quarters.
Okay. So there's what I hear you say is between these two spots, the needle maybe moves three needle widths. From one spot to the other, it's about the width of three needles. Would that be a fair analysis?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of car is it? A 56 Thunderbird?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not real worried about that it's hanging out at the three-quarter mark. I'm really not. But let me tell you what I think you're going to find out. I think you're going to find out that the radiator is restricted with calcium, which is a problem that we had with all the older cars. And you've heard rod and repair. And in the old days, we would take the tank off and we would stick a rod in there and we'd unplug the radiator. In your case, there's hardly anybody that will do that anymore because new radiators are so cheap. So, and the best you could hope for is to move the needle that evidently lives right around the three-quarter mark to between half and three-quarter. And that's where it should be all the time, is between half and three-quarter. I'm not real sure if you're just flirting with the three-quarter mark and that sometimes we're down the width of a needle, one or two needles, and sometimes we're up the width of one or two needles on your gauge. I'm not real sure I'd be worrying about that too much.
Okay.
You can replace the thermostat if you want. There's possibility that the thermostat is not opening completely, which would slow down the flow of water in the radiator. And it actually would cause higher pressure, too, because it's a restriction. And you might have some, you stop at an auto parts store and put a new radiator cap on it. But I think what you said that really had an impact on me is when I drive like this, it's here, and when I drive like that, it's here. And when you say that, I'm assuming it's fully warmed up, and so it's not likely to be a cap. Plus, you didn't say that it's spitting coolant on the ground either. So I'm back to where I started. It's if you wanted to change it for the better, you'd replace the radiator, but I'm not quite sure I would do it because you're hanging around the three-quarter mark, and that is in the normal range. So
okay, one more question. I heard that Stant makes an open throat, a larger opening on a thermostat. You
no,
aware of that?
You're stuck with the thermostat that the car calls for. Now, it is true that the circular part of the thermostat probably is replicated in more than half of the numbers. It's just when they open and when they close is the difference. So it's a 180, 195 thermostat. So if you wanted to replace the thermostat, Stant is a good product, and we use Stant. We use Stant caps, but as far as the neck that goes over the thermostat housing, I wouldn't play with that at all. I wouldn't get anything bigger because you're just covering up the problem. If we have restricted flow because the radiator's got some calcium buildup in it, you're not going to fix it by replacing the thermostat or replacing the housing. You still have restricted flow. But
If I buy a new radiator. Do I want one with 2-core, 3-core, 4-core?
Well, I'd put in what you have because you've been happy with it all these years, so why would we change it? And my fear would then be you'd call me and say the needle never comes off a quarter, and that's bad. So we need that needle on all cars today between half and 3-quarters. That's what we want. We want the coolant to be north of 212. And
yeah,
so,
but this on an old car?
Well, see, I do it a lot on the older cars. We now know that this is a good idea. You see, in the old days, we would generate lots of water, and we'd run the engines really cold. So every time you shut the key off, we'd get 10, 12, 15 drops of water as everything condensed. So we had lots of mud. We had lots of thick black chocolate when we drained the oil. Today we know that that's because of water. So that's why you have a 195 thermostat in most cars, is because we're going to run it at 212. And that's a good thing, because we're not going to boil the water out of the oil, and we're not going to have all those problems. So we did go from half, a little past half, in the older cars, and I was around in 1968 when that happened. We did go from there to between half and 3-quarters. And I tell everybody, if it runs between half and 3-quarters, then leave it alone. So those are your choices. Is that okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good luck, Vern. Thank you very much. The real important part now, we're talking about this 56 Thunderbird that was born a couple years after I was. The issue is on the newer model cars, the electronic cars, the computer-controlled cars, they control spark and fuel and everything. It's really important to understand that there's no flexibility in that. We need that car to run between 215 and 220. You're going to get the best fuel economy. You're going to get the best life. We're going to boil the water out of the oil if there is any in there. The oil can handle those kinds of temperatures. So there's lots of old-time guys that want to run their car at a quarter and maybe flirting with the half, when in reality it should be between a half and 3-quarters. It's better to run your engine hot than it is cold. There's all kinds of problems cold, and there is very little problems hot. Now, if you get past the 3-quarter mark and you start flirting with the hot mark or the red zone, that's when we have to do something different. But if you're flirting with the 3-quarter mark and you're a needle width on either side of the 3-quarter mark on your gauge, you're fine. You're fine. And especially if it's not spitting any coolant on the ground after you park it. So those are the possibilities. My email is mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. Mark is spelled with a K, and Salem is spelled like the cigarette, and I'll see you next Saturday here, right here on KKNT.